Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and this is Dr. Gary Penn. Thank you for listening to my podcast. And I'm all excited about October 21st. I'm sure if you're following my website and you're following my Shift for Love website, having a live podcast October 21st at the Rock Center in Santa Monica from 7 to 10. And it's going to be on dating and relationships. This podcast is kind of a primer for that, to talk a little bit about it because there's so much to talk about. This podcast is going to be on a week from Wednesday because this is a Tuesday, the 13th of October right now. And we're going to have Julie Spira. We're going to have Shannon Colleary. It's going to be just an amazing event. But, you know, it's so interesting how this upcoming live podcast developed because I have a very unique practice in the sense that I get to work with who I choose to work with. I'm very fortunate that way. I have... And my clientele obviously varies, but some people are in relationships, some people are married, some people come for business, deal issues with their career or their parents, but a lot of people are coming to see me because of relationships, and it's such a vexing problem for them to try to figure out what is going on and what's happening in the world these days, and We don't know like what it is. Like we wonder, are you like, do you become bitter? Are you bitter? Are you, because you feel that when you go out or you put yourself out there in the world and say, I want to meet someone, I want to find someone to love, are you bitter that somehow it's not gonna go well? Or that the person is just lying to you, or they're fatally flawed, or they just want to sleep with you, and they don't really want anything else other than just this maybe one night connection, that it's all just about sex or something like that. And or are you, do you start to blame yourself and you start to think to yourself, like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I? You know, you look around and you go out and you see all these people who are holding hands and walking down the street, and you start to blame yourself and say, what's wrong with me? Why can't I find somebody? And it is such a problem, isn't it? I mean, it's such an interesting problem because when we go out and we meet somebody, all of our idiosyncrasies and all of our issues, they are in play in that moment. Now, I know a lot of single people. Like, I know a lot of single people. Just not in my professional life, but in my personal life, I know a lot of single people. To a person, they're nice people. You know, they're kind and they're loving. And they really do want to meet someone. They want to meet a quality person. And when I look at, let's say, I'm just thinking about maybe 3 or 4 or 5 people that I know that they can't find someone. There are reasons why they can't find someone that transcend the difficulties of dating in 2015. You know, the idea of the hypersexuality and, you know, the swiping online and the internet stuff and just being judged on a picture or a job or the car you have. Sure, that's certainly a challenge. But when I look at these people that I see and I look at them and I'm saying, well, each of them has their own issues. I was talking to someone I'm very close to, and he's just a lovely, lovely man. He's in good shape. He's got a nice job. Sweetheart of a guy. and he can't connect with a woman. Now, and I was talking to him about it over the weekend, and he said to me, and he kept on saying this, and he said, "Well, why can't I just?" Because I was talking about, the aesthetics of himself, of like, creating a space, a location maybe where he should live instead of living in kind of a sleepy bedroom community where families are, to move more into a place where there are more singles and getting out there more, or how you kind of arrange your life and how you kind of make yourself more worldly and more interested and interesting. And he kept on saying to me, "Why can't I just be loved for who I am? Why can't someone care about me and love me for who I am?" And I kept, I was saying, "Well, maybe you can do this A, B, and C, and D." And he looked at me and he said, "Why can't I just be loved for who I am? I'm not a bad guy." And probably the fifth time that he said that to me, I thought about it and I said, he's right. Right. Yes, he could have a certain kind of furniture and put artwork on the walls, and he could read certain books, which I think I don't minimize that of becoming someone that's very interesting and worldly and, in the world and has something to say and, is someone who can challenge someone's thought process and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, his position was, "I'm a good guy and I could love someone and care about someone and we could walk through life. And yeah, we may not go to seminars that are given by, world leaders or cultural icons, but so what? Maybe that's not the way he rolls." And it's not. And there are many people who are like that. So why can't he meet someone? And I know this person very well. And I said, "Tim, you're right. You're right. Someone should love you exactly as you are. Not that he can't improve, or not that, so that you can't improve, but he should be loved for exactly who he is." And then, I said to him, "Look, I know people in my practice and personally who they're not corporate attorneys or movie stars. I mean, I have those, of course, as well. But a lot of these people are just average men and women. But let's, just average." He's a guy, so I'll say just average guys, nice people, and they have struggles just like everybody else, but they are able to get a lot of girls to be interested in them. These are heterosexual people I'm talking about right now. And they're able to get a lot of girls. And some of them just want to sleep with people, which is fine, that's what they want to do, and they're able to get a lot of girls to sleep with them, or some of them just date and are looking for relationships, and they're able to get a lot of dates. And so I said to my friend, "The thing that these people have that you don't have is that they have the ability to meet someone and to come at them with some kind of confidence and sexual intention." That this man that I'm talking to, my friend, let's just call him John, doesn't have. He doesn't have that ability. Too anxious and too nervous. He tends to mythologize women. He tends to make them, "Well, why would they like me?" Or, he can't. I said to him, "Look, imagine you were at a party and you met a woman and she said to you, 'Boy, you really just look terrific. And you seem to be like a really interesting guy, and I could tell that you work out, or what gym do you go to,' or something along." I know that sounds kind of cheesy and silly, but I said to him, "How would that make you feel?" And I said, "My guess is it would make you feel, you would get a little excited. You would get a little bit, you would feel a stirring, right? You would feel something move. A little bit of adrenaline. You may get a small erection. You may get something happening in your loins that may move you." And I said, "That's what happens." And I don't think he thinks about it this way, but I said, "If you said that to a woman, like, 'Boy, you're just you just look really beautiful, and the way you dress and carry yourself is terrific, or something like that. How do you think a woman would hear that? How would she understand it? Do you think that she would feel good? She would feel warm and fuzzy inside. She would get excited to some level. I'm not saying she'd rip off her clothes or anything like that, but my guess is she would feel good. It's good to be told that you're beautiful or handsome or that you look good. It's good, and people like that. But a lot of people get so much in their heads, and they get so like lost in, well, they'll just think I'm just trying to make a play for them, or if I say that, they'll think it's disingenuous. I guess all of that is possible, but that doesn't mean that you don't say something that is saying, I find you attractive. I am desirous of you. Now, yes, to my desirous of you just on a physical basis. On some level, yes, it doesn't mean that that's all I want from somebody, but it is good to let someone know that you find them attractive, that you connect with them. It's good for someone to say, a woman to say to a man, you know, to let them know that you, I think the way you carry yourself is terrific, and to let that be understood. It doesn't have to be direct. It could certainly be indirect. But this person, this John person, can't do that. And so what his pattern is with women is that he will find women that are already like friends of his wives or girlfriends, and he will like secretly, you know, fall in love with them. Because he said to me, you know, people at my work, all the women at my work love me. All the women who are married or this or that, they all love him. I said, that's right, because you're a terrific guy. But you can't meet someone either online or in person, and you can't take that moment and make it into something where the person can see you again. And this is not like a big mountain to climb. This is, you seem really interesting. I'd love to take you for a cocktail. Can you give me your contact information? I could reach out and perhaps we can get a bite to eat or a drink. That's it. So it's not like, can I ask your mother or father, can I take you out? I mean, something very basic like that. He can't do that. And because of that, he's alone. So when you look at all of these, why can't I find someone to love? John's case, he simply can't make that, he can't put that out there eye to eye when he's talking, meeting another woman, whether it's at, you know, a sandwich shop, at the cleaners, at the market. He can't do that. It's too overwhelming for him. Another friend that I have, very educated, very smart, beautiful, keeps herself in great shape. She can't find somebody. She's been in some relationships since I've known her. I've known her for a few years now. But she always picks men with a sell-by date. Picks men with a sell-by date. And this is a woman who is in her 50s, right? Very psychologically aware. But always picks men with a sell-by date. Either someone who's fatally flawed, on just, you know, not a great job, very insecure, a lot of neuroses, or people who are like are narcissistic and have these like amazing stories, very sexually, you know, prolific, but again, fatally flawed. And so why does she do that? Why do we have such a hard time? I think we all want the same thing, don't we? Don't we, most of us, want the same thing? I mean, yes, we want different iterations of that. You may want someone who is really athletic and loves to travel and has the ability and the means to pick up and go and move to South America for 4 months. And that may be what turns you on. Another person might want to have children and they want someone with a stable job and is able to have kids and start a family. we all have different ideas, but I think at the end of the day, we want someone who is psychologically solid enough that they are able to care for themselves, have some sense of social, cultural, worldly consciousness, is a good heart, has a good heart, is not ruled by their demons, meaning that, you may have anxiety, I may have anxiety, you may get blue, I may get blue, you may get a little manic, I may get a little manic, but all these things are in the range of acceptable stuff. That I may be a normal person who every once in a while gets a little jacked up, but I'm not a person who lives with mania or depression. We just want someone who, I think it depends what you want. Listen, I think it's very easy just to go and have sex, right? I think in this day and age, if that's what you want, then this podcast isn't really going to be speaking to you because you're just saying, I just want to get over with people and have a good time and have fun. And that's fine. I have that's if that's where you're at, then that's great. I mean, for you. But the people that I see, that I know, a lot of the problems, a lot of the difficulties they're having is, I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. Why can't I find a healthy relationship? Now, I talked about this woman in her 50s who keeps on finding unhealthy men and starting and gets bogged down in unhealthy relationships. I have another friend, very smart, very accomplished, keeps herself in great shape, and she just can't find anybody. But I don't even think she says she wants somebody, but I don't think she does. I mean, I guess if someone knocked on her door and said, listen, I am this person. I'm an architect and I'm really into creativity and I'm really smart and I'm really capable and I have a wonderful heart and I want to have walk through life with you and I want to be an addition to your life, not a drag on your life. I think she would be up for that, but instead she's kind of finds herself in a place where she's kind of closed off, surrounds herself with a lot of friends, but no one to connect with. I have another guy, a friend of mine, can't find a relationship, can't find a healthy relationship. He can't get out of his own way. He is the nicest guy in the world, but can't advance in his life, in his career. And again, a lot of people think, well, I'm a nice person. Why shouldn't someone love me the way I am? It's hard when you get a certain age and a certain place in your life and you don't have any money or resources and you're kind of living paycheck to paycheck. And it's hard. It's scary out there. And it isn't that people want someone with $1 million, although I don't think anyone would be upset about that. But I think someone wants someone who has figured life out to a certain degree. Whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, or 60s, I think we want people who have just kind of figured out life to some degree. Right? I don't think that you want to be, most of the people who I work with, and I granted, I work and I know people of a certain, I don't know, at a certain level. Whether it's, I don't know if it's a good level or a bad level, but it's a different level than other levels. I mean, maybe if I, but even I think this transcends culture and socioeconomic things. But I think most people that I work with, most people that I know, they don't need someone who lives in Brentwood or has, a vacation home. I mean, again, that would be fine, but I think they just want someone who figured life out. Yes, I have a job. Yes, I make a living. Yes, what I do is interesting to me. Yes, I read. Yes, I am open to meeting someone. I'm open to a real connection. And it's a little bit problematic because we really can't find that, can we? We really can't find someone who feels the same way at the same time. We really can't find someone that we're attracted to and also thinks that we're attractive to them. We just can't find that. It's so difficult. And it's so difficult for someone to kind of work the relationship and work through things. Because you know, and I know that when you're in the dating world, right, that most people who are in the dating world are maybe on 1, 2, 3, 4 different websites, all different types of people. And some people who are out there are literally dating 3 or 4 or 5 people. And it's like, how do you stand out? It's like, you know, one of these reality shows for singing or for dancing or what have you. And someone, you want someone to choose you, but then you have to choose them well because you may be dating 4 or 5 people. So how do you both find, how are you one of the 4 or 1 of the 5 that you connect with? So very difficult. And this podcast is not just to say how difficult it is, because I don't know how really that helps you in the sense of, okay, Gary, it's difficult. And now what? You know, such a valid way to think about things, such a valid question. It's like, I know that it's difficult, and what am I supposed to do about that? There are so many things to do about that, isn't there? There are so many things, because you can't just say that it's just too difficult, that people are just all screwed up, that only people, all people want to do is have sex, or all these people have intimacy issues, or they're all messed up, and everyone's kind of socially or psychologically broken, and it's really hard. Yeah, I get that. And these are things that you and I or and anyone else are not in control of. What you are in control of is who you are, how you approach the world, how you connect with people, how you communicate with people, how you express yourself, how you put forward into the world who you are and what you want, how you are able to judge someone once you meet them, to see them exactly for who they are, not as you fear them to be, or not as you want them to be, so you make excuses for bad behaviors, but you actually see them for exactly who they are, and then make the appropriate decisions for you. Because a lot of times, it's not that there are not that there are a complete, you know, emptiness of good people out there, but a lot of times, a lot of people, they will get sidetracked because they're very lonely and they meet someone that there's an attraction. And, you know, very few people are just all bad, all horrible, sociopathic, mean-spirited, racist, disgusting, whatever it is. Most people, you know, they'll meet someone where there's this connection, maybe a sexual connection or there's something, but they know that it's flawed. But the connection is so powerful that they make a decision to try to see if it could be worked through, that if it's something that they can overlook or maybe get the person to change. Let's say someone goes out and, I don't know, has such a great network of friends that they're out 3 times a week with their buddies or their girlfriends or something, and maybe, you know, or they go, I don't, to gamble 3 times a week because that's what they love to do. And you're saying, well, maybe if we fell in love, that would stop or some things like that. And so we hope that we can overlook the negatives and have the person realize that, oh, you know, I found my person. I don't have to do this anymore. So we come up with that. But a lot of times what we do is we get sidetracked in a relationship that is really, again, with a sell-by date, if you really think about it. And then we'll spend days and weeks and months and sometimes years in a relationship that we know is just not good enough and just not the right person. it's so hard to let someone go, isn't it? Because, we want someone. We want to go to the Halloween party with someone. We want someone to go and share the holidays with. We want someone to kiss on New Year's. And the person that I'm talking about, maybe the person in your life or the person that you've had in your life, yeah, they're not the right person. Yeah, there's a sell-by date. But if I just keep on saying no to these people, I just keep on being alone. And that may be the best place to be for a lot of us, because when we're alone and we're open to the right person coming into our lives, but we don't know when that's going to be, do we? We really don't know. And so we're kind of in this place of, well, I could put up with this person going to gamble 3 times a week. Like, four nights a week is good enough for me. Or, we make excuses, or this person is, not a great communicator, but I could draw this person out. And we start to get projects. And we say, well, Gary, what am I supposed to do? There are so few people out there that really have their act together. And it becomes very frustrating. It's very frustrating to ask for what you want, isn't it? It's very scary to say, wait a minute. I'm not going to, where are you in your life? What do you want from your life? I've told people who are, let's say, 30 years old or somewhere in that area, and when you meet someone, ask what they want from a relationship. Like, or if someone asks you, what do you want? A lot of people are just afraid to say their truth. Well, I just want to find someone that I like, and that may not be their truth. Maybe a woman who's 35 would say, I really want to find someone who is open to having a family and wants to settle down with someone. So, or a man could say the same thing. I'm looking for someone. I'm not looking just to get over with someone. I want to find someone I could fall deeply in love with and have a life with. And I've told this to people, and they say, well, I don't want to, that people are going to freak out over that. If I told someone that, they would freak out. They would run away from me. So then we get all jammed up, don't we? Like, if you really think about it, is that really a crazy thing to say? I mean, let's look at the opposite, right? So let's just say for a moment that I met someone and they say, well, what do you want? And let's just say I said, well, I just want to have sex, or I just want to have fun. Apparently, that wouldn't freak anybody out. But just wouldn't, apparently, they would think that, well, that's fine to say. But to say, I really want to fall deeply in love is something completely different. Much harder to do, isn't it? I don't know why people would think that, though. I don't know why people would think one is going to freak someone out. And if I were in the dating world and I said, I really want to find my life partner, I really want to find a woman that I could really fall deeply in love with and, have my best friend and my lover, I don't know who that would be, if that's you or somebody else, but if you're asking me what I want, that's what I want. And if I said that to somebody and they freaked out, or if you said that to somebody and they just kind of, moved back in their chair and did all these things. All right. It's like, if that's where you go, if that's who you are, if that's what you're feeling, well, don't you want to know that? Like, don't you want to know that? If someone has a reaction like that's too much too soon, or that's freaking them out, or you're afraid that someone's going to understand that as needy, well, don't you want to know that? Because if you, in fact, do want that but don't say it, And someone, if they thought you wanted that, would think that's needy, and so then that's not the person for you. So why would you want to go out with someone for a month or 2 months? Maybe have sex with them, start to generate some real strong emotions for someone who really doesn't want what you fundamentally want, and then you find yourself diverted and then kind of heartbroken after 5 or 6 months because the person can't close the deal and make you, you know, his girlfriend, or, you know, you can't become their boyfriend or something like that because it's just too much for you or for them. And so you've done it again. Well, I don't know, because when we're together, it's so wonderful, but I think it's okay to ask for what you want. I think it's okay to say what your truth is. I think it's okay to put that out into the universe, to put a stake in the ground and say, this is who I am, to look someone in the eye, to say, I think you're attractive. I like you. I'd like to get to know you. I'm looking to establish a relationship with someone that's more serious than just having fun. And if someone runs the other way, says, no, I can't handle that. Okay, next. Promise you that if you do that, if you do that enough, someone's going to look at you and say, that's exactly what I want as well. It's exactly what I'm looking for. How refreshing that I met someone who can be very clear and very transparent with that. It's kind of wonderful. I could so easily go on for 5 hours about this because there are so many tentacles, so many areas that we can look at and try to understand. There's so many areas about that. I'm not going to do that today. I want those of you who are listening to go to the Shift for Love website. The Shift for Love website. And to sign up for my podcast on the 21st. Julie Spira, the nation's leading online dating expert, will be for the live podcast. And Shannon Colleary, really an expert on toxic relationships and how to identify and how to extricate yourself. And really, it's really going to be a wonderful podcast. And it's just, it's a nice way to meet me, to be there, to be part of the audience, and you'll be able to ask questions, and you'll be able to really, you know, talk about some of your issues. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I can't wait, and I look forward to seeing you on the 21st, although, of course, those of you who are listening to this after the 21st, that's going to have no meaning for you whatsoever. But hopefully there are going to be a lot of you who are listening beforehand. And I do hope to see you on the 21st. And there's going to be a lot of fun podcasts coming up, a lot of fun interviews and so forth. So we'll look forward to that. Loneliness and connection. Talk again on the 21st. Till next time, this is Dr. Gary Penn. Be well.